Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Number One Baseball's Off the Bat. I'm Jana, and joined, as always, by my lovely co-hosts, Jeff and Eric. Hey, guys, how are you today?
Doing great. Yankees are winning.
Yeah. Jeff was on, he was on suicide watch yesterday when I sent out the show notes. Thanks for not giving his vote. Eric, how about you?
Yeah, I'm doing a little bit better than yesterday, that's for sure. Looks like the Marlins are hanging on right now against the Mets, so fingers crossed.
I'm going to say, out of the three of us, I had the best baseball day yesterday. The Cardinals came back from the dead twice, oddly reminiscent of our playoff times, but things did not fare so well this afternoon. So, you know, it's all ebbs and flows. It's ups and downs. We've got a pretty action-packed show for you here this week. A couple of nice streaks going on. Surprise, surprise. After this afternoon, we got a whole mess load of hitting streaks going on. But we'll get there in a minute. Also going to take a look at one of our historical streaks. A little debating there whether or not it's intact or not. But we'll, like I said, we'll get there. I don't want to get too far ahead of us. So we will be here half an hour till 9:30 if you're listening live. If you're listening after the fact, thanks for downloading, and we'll be here for half an hour. So hopefully we're helping your commute. You can find us all over social media when you miss us during the week. You can find us, number1baseball.com is our hub. We're on Twitter at number1baseball with the numeric value 1. Instagram, we're at Off the Bat, and Facebook, we're at number1baseball. Also remember, we're tweeting out every day, beat the streak picks. I'm batting about 500 right now. So if you've got beef with it, just pick one of them. You got a 50-50 chance of getting it right. Every day you get one winner. If you double down like me, your streak's not looking so great. But that's okay. And as always, if there's something you want to hear us cover or a streak that from the past, something going on now that we didn't hit, or you really want to hear us talk about more in depth, come find us all over social media. All three of us are more than happy to talk baseball with you anytime. So now that we've gotten our whining about our prospective teams out of the way, let's dive right in. We've got a win streak that is, as Jeff alluded to, in a little bit of dire straits right now. Boston is on a 9-game tear. They are also the only team undefeated at home this season so far. But currently things are not looking real fly against the Yankees, thanks to David Price. I think we probably all know how Jeff feels about the Red Sox, but we'll get there in a minute. Eric, what do you think about them? Are they the real deal? Is this a streak that you think may continue past tonight? Obviously, things don't look great right now, but how are you feeling about the Red Sox in general?
Yeah, I don't know if the streak's going to continue for much longer. Obviously, the Yankees are a pretty good team with that lineup, but I do think the Red Sox overall are the real deal. I think Mookie Betts and some of the other younger guys, Devers, are going to start coming into their own this year and stepping up. I think Hanley is actually a guy you're going to want to watch too. I think a lot of people wrote him off and he's got something to prove. Apparently he's in better shape this year than he was in the past few seasons. So, I think the combination of that lineup, Chris Sale, obviously one of the best pitchers in the game, probably the best pitcher in the American League. And then you have, David Price, who's kind of that sneaky guy in the back end of the rotation. And, you know, if you put, you know, David Price in the back end of your rotation in the same sentence, I think that puts you in a good spot. So even if they get a little bit better than they did last year out of him, I think they're going to be in a good spot. So you can never really write off the Red Sox.
And Jeff, who's hailing from the evil empire, how do you feel about the Red Sox? After last night, things were not great. We got a real salty email late last night from you. But today, I'm thinking birds are chirping, the skies are a little bluer for you as a Yankee fan. But overall, as a baseball fan, what do you think about them?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. But the thing with the Red Sox and the Yankees this year, I mean, those are the two teams to beat in the AL East. And I think I'm going to have to give the advantage to the Red Sox. I think their pitching is, at least their starting pitching is much more consistent. Yankees are relying on a strong, second-year performance from Seve and Tanaka. You don't know what you're going to get. And CC Sabathia is old, and he's on the DL right now. So if Price can come back, I mean, he left in the first inning tonight with anything close to what he was when he was in Tampa Bay or Detroit or anything, I think that they can make a very serious case for running away with this division, where the Yankees are just holding on way too much to power. And it's reminiscent in my mind of, you know, the mid-2000s when we had Giambi and A-Rod and all these guys that were going to do a bloop and a blast, and that's what we're going to win. And I just – you might win a game with a home run here or there, but it's pitching that's going to win you the World Series. And it's definitely the Red Sox have the advantage.
One thing, one of many things that my dad taught me from when I can remember is you can never have too much pitching. Is it any surprise I've turned out the way I have? But I agree with you. I think the Red Sox are the real deal. I'm just really mostly excited that this rivalry is kind of heated back up. It was a little lopsided for a few years one way and then back the other, and now both teams are pretty solid and competitive, and if the Yankees can hold on for a whole season, they're young, I'm worried they might run out of gas. You know, we'll see what happens. But certainly Boston's on the ropes a little bit right now. For those of you who this might be your first show, we record this live. It airs live if you're listening after the fact. Obviously, games are in progress while we're doing this, which makes show prep a little bit fun because things are changing all the time. But we also have the added addition tonight of the NHL playoffs starting, and all three of us are pretty avid hockey fans. So bear with us tonight. But right now I think mostly the Red Sox and Yankees are the ones trying to bust my brackets here on my show notes. But on the lighter side of things, we did have a pretty aggressive losing streak going. I was a little bummed out to talk about. The White Sox looked awful coming into today. Five straight losses, hadn't won yet at home, but they finally pulled it out today against Tampa Bay this afternoon. They broke the skid. The White Sox are back on the board. Things are looking a little better in Chicago. Granted, the Cubs now are the only remaining team that is without a win at home. Also, bear in mind, this is only their second home game. Technically, they're in the midst of it now, so it's got a chance of breaking that tonight. But it was looking a little sad in Chicago there for a while. Overall, I think both of you would agree with me. The Cubs, obviously, are the better-looking team out of the two here. The White Sox, sort of rebuilding, kind of a sad time. But now we move on to our current losers. I say that with all due respect. The Reds and the Rangers, so both at three games apiece. Out of those two teams, and this obviously a little more off the cuff, but out of those two teams, Eric, who do you like better, the Reds or the Texans? You think will end up having the better year?
I think the Rangers for sure. I think the Rangers just have a much better pitching staff, much better lineup. The Reds are definitely in a rebuild. It really seems like nobody on the Reds roster right now can stay healthy either, so that's going to hurt.
The Rangers are
definitely going to turn things around. They're right now a three-game losing streak, but they are 4-9. I do think they're probably, you know, the Astros are the favorites in that division, but the Angels are also good. But, you know, if you told me, hey, the Rangers maybe sneak into a playoff spot at the end of the season, I wouldn't be shocked. I do think that they're going to be a team that turns it around.
Wow, playoff potential wild card there. I'm not sure if I'm totally on board with that, but I like it. I like the predictions. What do you think, Jeff?
I'm going to go the other way. I think the Reds are going to have a better season, and I'm really just going off of the division. You're looking at the AL West.
Now you're just bullying me.
Well, I have a little bit, but I mean, you got the Angels, you got the Strohs, I mean, you got the Mariners. I mean, Athletics aren't really much of anything, but so I mean, I think it's a tougher road for Texas to going forward. Yeah, they might be a little bit healthier right now, but when you look at the AL Central, the Pirates basically traded away their life. Brewers are Cubs. I mean, are streaky. I'm not convinced the Cubs have the pitching. Cardinals, you know,
we don't have pitching.
We don't have anything. Yeah, so I mean, I think overall the Reds have higher potential. I think. I mean, I would agree that if we were betting, probably put it on the Rangers. But I really think that the Reds are a team that, I mean, in this division, Chicago should probably run away with it. But I'm just not convinced. It's up in the air. But they got to stay healthy.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. We'll take that as unpersonally as we can. but I digress. Let's take a look at another couple of streaks going on. So when games ended last night, we had two guys sitting pretty atop, one AL, one NL, with 9-game hit streaks, and that was Matt Chapman of the Oakland Athletics and old Chris Owings out in Arizona. This afternoon, a couple of guys threw their names in the hat here. D. Gordon, Brian Dozier, Marcelo Zuna, and Estrubel Cabrera all joined the 9-hit club. So we have three guys in each league on 9-game hit streaks. I'm liking it. I mean, granted, as we talked about last week, I don't think anyone's really getting to Joe DiMaggio level, but it's nice to see guys hitting. I'm a big fan of this. How do you guys feel about it, Eric?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, obviously, a hit streak is cool, but, you know, if we look at the guys who are doing it, Matt Chapman, there is. And I think, you know, D. Gordon and Matt Chapman are definitely the opposite ends of the spectrum. For a while there, I thought she was just, you know, naming former Marlin players, but, you know, besides the point.
I think the theme of this show, and maybe this is by design, has really been very favorable to Marlins past and present over the last couple of weeks, especially when it comes to hitting.
As long as we don't talk about their record or actual on-field performance, then
it's
absolutely.
Fine. Everything's fine.
I think we'll rename the show, you know, the contributions the Marlins have made to baseball over the years.
Yeah,
you know,
I like that.
Mention,
it really rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does. But, yeah, no, the hit streaks, I think, you know, Matt Chapman, he's an interesting guy to watch. I actually just picked him up in my fantasy league. Was a little light on power, or actually you guys are both in the fantasy league, so I just picked him up, FYI.
Thanks, guys.
He's one of those guys that's he is, like, to use Jeff's term, a bopper and a blooper or whatever that term was. You know, I think he's a guy that's going to hit the ball probably pretty hard, but also strike out a ton. So I'm not – that mix doesn't usually lend itself to you know, long hit streaks, but rather streaky performances in kind of both directions. But, yeah, the other guys are certainly fun to watch. I think D. Gordon is one to keep an eye on. I just think he's always been a pretty undervalued player. You know, no bias there from his time with the Marlins and you know, steroid suspension. But, you know, one guy that I think could actually rack up, you know, probably 20 or so games if it happened, I wouldn't be shocked. But, again, nobody's touching DiMaggio.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, as a Cardinals fan, I'm pretty hyped about Marcelo Zuna is about the only bright spot we got going right now. But is Estrubel Cabrera always someone we've talked about pretty highly on the show over the years? He's a cornerstone of most of my fantasy teams. I think he may hang around for a while. What do you think, Jeff?
I think so. I mean, I think he's a little slap happy, but I mean, he's, you know, he you know what you're going to get with him over the last couple of years. It's just been relatively consistent. What concerns me is obviously the team he has around him. If anybody's going to make a chase with this, I mean, it's got to be a I hate to go back to the Yankees. I mean, it's easy to do that when you have
a
lineup unlike the Marlins.
We'll forgive you.
you have, you know, anybody on that lineup can contribute. So a pitcher's got to pitch to somebody. And so it's going to take, I think, a team like that for somebody to really make a chase of the, and I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, to get anywhere close to, you know, 30 or 40, you got to have people surrounding you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I'm just pretty hyped that, like, I mean, across the board, it's different names, different teams. We've got 3-3. I like it. I might be a little OCD, but, you know, it makes my heart happy. Saves, we've got some familiar faces here. Yarius Familia racked up a 6 save today. Still has not given up a run yet either, which I think is pretty impressive. And Roberto Ozuna out in Toronto, Wade Davis trailing just behind him with 5 saves apiece. But, I mean, Familia, unfortunately, the way the Mets are using him, probably going to run out of gas in like 2 weeks. He's going to hit a wall hard because he's thrown a million innings. But so far, you know, he's a bright spot for the Mets. Can't fault him there.
Well,
I know how you guys
I agree, yeah.
I mean, I know you guys don't love closers. You're not a big fan of the stat. We had that whole thing last week. But, you know, still a nice thing.
Familia, in my mind, is one of those guys that, you know, probably is – I just don't like him for whatever reason. I always feel like he's overrated. I mean, he does a good job, like, so I don't know what I'm complaining about, but, you know, I think it's just because he's on the Mets.
I mean, I get it.
Me,
I get it.
Yeah. Ozuna's one of those guys, too, that I root for him. Like, I want him to have a good season. I think he is a good pitcher. It just seems like
something
always
happens to him, though.
Always happens, even to the Blue Jays in general. But yeah, I mean, I'm not honestly too surprised by his name here. You know, you would think you'd have, you know, like the Kenley Jansen or somebody else at the top of the lineup, or one of the, you know, 10 pitchers in the back of the Yankees bullpen. But I think that, to the save point, you know, it's, if your team's not winning or if you have so many guys, it starts to take away some of those opportunities, especially how bullpens are used these days.
Just for what it's worth, the Cardinals are open and accepting all applications for closers. Anybody who wants to be a relief pitcher, we're just signing everybody right now. So, you know, maybe one day we'll have a name on this list. What do you think, Jeff?
Hopefully not. You know, what's frustrating for me with closers, too, is it's just so streaky. And even I think
they can't all be Mariano.
I mean, I'm really trying to not make Yankee references, but I mean, let's Hoffman, for example. Like, we don't have those powerhouses out there in the league right now, at least, that is just going to shut down everybody with one or two pitches. They're coming in there, they're throwing as hard as they can, and anybody that, like a Chapman, that's throwing 103 miles per hour, I am just waiting for that day where his arm falls off. And I just, I would love to see somebody do an Eric Gagne-like performance, but then that requires a team that's running on all cylinders and the run differential when the person comes in. I think the league in general puts way too much weight on a closer. You look at what Batanz has had a couple years ago when he was in arbitration. He's trying to make this case that he is the next coming of Mariano Rivera, and he lost in arbitration. So I just think that the league needs to transition away to, like, we need one person who's going to pitch the ninth inning. And if we don't lose, if we're not winning for 10 days or it's not a safe situation, that person's not going to pitch. That's just inconsistent for me, and I hate it as a fantasy stat too.
Tell me how you really feel.
Sorry.
We're interested. No, you're fine. I can't wait till we have the Brad Lidge and Eric Gagne historical stat shows, but we'll get there. And then David Price was in our next category for scoreless innings. He had gone 14 strong. Obviously, tonight did not go well for him. Jacob Junis in Kansas City is standing alone at 14 innings. I like scoreless inning streaks. I think we got to get a little deeper in the season until I start getting really excited about them. But, you know, so far we've got guys that are out there. Low ERAs, big fan of that. A stat I'm a little more excited about coming into tonight, Mookie Betts is on a 10-game on-base streak. So he's on base every game this season. As of the beginning of the show, he had not made it on base yet. We'll see what happens there. But to me, that's pretty impressive. Granted, the Red Sox have won a whole lot of games, so he's got a few more opportunities. But what do you think, Jeff?
No, I think he has. And I'm just looking up right now because I was looking at the score to see what's happening. And
I've been watching the Penguins Flyers games, and the Penguins have put up a touchdown while we've been doing the show. I've not been watching the Red Sox Yankees games, so I'm a bad baseball show host right now. But like, it's a playoff.
Well, I got you covered. So I got Mookie Betts has a hit so far.
So we
are still looking good. He's got an RBI. We have a 5-run bottom of the fifth going on for the Red Sox, and I am sweating bullets. But Mookie Betts is the real deal.
Wow.
And I think he is a bright spot. So anybody that's going to make a long run like this, I can see somebody like him. He's got the protection. He's got the environment. He's got the right approach at the plate. And I hate that I'm complimenting the Red Sox right now.
I think we could still be talking about this streak next week. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I agree. I think Mookie Betts is probably, you know, one of the best players in the league, honestly. I think he's very well-rounded, to Jeff's point. Has tons of protection in that lineup now, especially with J.D. Martinez there. Absolutely somebody that could go on a streak and rack up, you know, 20, maybe even 30 games or something crazy like that in a hit streak. He did have a hit again tonight, so he's back on base.
There we go, Mookie. I was not a fan of him coming into the league, but, like, he's really grown on me. A guy who I think everybody pretty much was a fan of, or very quickly became one, is Shohei Ohtani. So we're looking at coming into last night, 2 wins and 2 starts, 4 games started as a designated hitter, hitting all of them, 3 home runs in his last 3 games. Last night he did pinch hit and grounded out. So we're gonna look at this from game started perspectives because I really wanted to talk about this tonight. I know a lot of people out there are trying to make the Babe Ruth comparison. Really not a valid one. Babe Ruth had his best pitching years and hitting years not only on separate teams but in different seasons. So just for historical purposes, this is pretty unusual. We all knew it was, but, like, historically really doesn't happen much. The last player to really be a pitcher and a hitter was Brooks Kishusnik. Oh, I sound like I'm sneezing. He was a reliever, a pinch hitter, and an outfielder for the Brewers in 2003 and 4. He had 74 appearances as a pitcher, 133 appearances at the plate. Ohtani's on track to actually really perform as a DH all year and pitch pretty effectively. This is what he was doing in Japan. He had, in his last full season there, he had more than 20 games started and over 100 plate appearances, which was kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's been since 1964 that a player had over 200 appearances as a batter and more than 10 appearances as a pitcher in the same season. And that was Willie Smith, who I'm sure you all knew right off the top of your head was the guy. At first, I was not sold on this. I did not love the idea of it, but spring training didn't do a lot to really, like, ease my mind on this, but it's working. And granted, I don't know if it will all season, and I get worried about him getting hurt, but I mean, it's kind of exciting to see. I have him on a fantasy team or two, and I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid now. What do you think, Eric?
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, too. I like this. I think it's great for baseball. It's probably the most exciting thing to happen or change
it's
in quite
weird
some
and
time.
I like
so
it.
I think it's, yeah, I think it's a good, like, influx of excitement into the game, something to watch that's not like the Yankees or the Red Sox or, you know, one of those other kind of more classic rivalries that have frankly been beaten to death. So I like it. I think it's good for the West Coast, to be honest. I feel like we're always talking about like the East Coast teams and that's, you know, the major media markets and it kind of drives a lot of the baseball news cycle. So I think it's good to get some excitement out that way. I don't know how sustainable it is. You know what I mean? That's my biggest thing. Even if we compare him to Babe Ruth, right, you know, whenever Babe Ruth played in the 20s, right, or something like that, it's just so different, the game now. The players are stronger, faster, better, that I just don't know how he can pitch once every 5 days and then play the three games in the middle. You know, he's been getting the day off after he pitches, rightfully so, but it's I just – how is that sustainable? I think that's my biggest hang-up. Something will give in my mind, whether it's the hitting or the pitching, or hopefully his entire body, you know, just doesn't give out. So let's see. Let's ride the wave while it's happening because I think it is exciting, but I'm not optimistic that this is going to be sustainable.
What do you think, Jeff?
No, I completely agree. In what's concerning to me about the approach is, and I think eventually he's going to have to choose one or the other, is what happens if the pitching starts to struggle and he's getting shelled? And how does that move over or translate to his approach at the plate and just the psyche of this? I mean, he's an all-encompassing, he's involved in everything. And so the way I see it, and I think it's just basic human nature, is if you're struggling at the plate, for example, and you're up there and you got to pitch five innings, six innings to score this ball, are you really going to be able to focus that much? And we haven't seen that yet. And I don't – the Angels, I mean, are doing well. They're 9-3 right now. And, you know, they've done well at home and away. So what's going to happen when, you know, he's faced with those first challenges? I think halfway through the season, I want to drink the Kool-Aid. I have him on my fantasy team as a hitter. But he's going to have to choose one or the other. And bluntly, I think if he's not going to be playing the field, I would just put him all in as pitcher and go out and try to get another bat.
The other thing to consider is he's young. I think we kind of forget because when these Japanese pitchers come over, they already have like 100 million innings on their arms and you just figure they've been around forever. But he's a lot younger than a lot of the guys that have come over. And he's still developing as a player. From what I understand, he likes hitting better. He's more natural at it. He just has – he's just not fully developed as a pitcher yet. So it's not – out of the two, I think he might choose to be a hitter if he's given the choice. Out of the two, I think the Angels want him to be a pitcher. They can find a bat. Finding arms isn't always the easiest thing in the world. But I want this to work. I want to believe that it can. He missed a lot of last season with an ankle injury. The year before, he did it the whole season, and he put up very impressive numbers. So I want to believe that it's possible. I don't know if maybe you just take him down to 2 days a week as a DH. I don't know, but I'm excited to see how it does go. And then just since we're running out of time here, let's touch on our historical streak for the week, and that is the longest regular season win streak. Now, this comes with a bit of controversy, but, you know, for what it's worth, the 1916 Giants hold it, and this is sort of with an asterisk, at 26 games. For people who are not total baseball historian nerds like I am, might not be aware that there's actually a tie in the middle of this streak, and that causes some discussion on whether or not it's an accurate streak or not. There was a tie in the middle back in 1916. Fields didn't have lights. There was a rain delay, could not finish the game. And so the game was essentially, they just didn't count it. They played it again the next day. They played for a doubleheader, but they kept the stats from the game, and that's where it gets a little murky. So for arguments purposes tonight, we're going to go with that being the longest regular season win streak at 26 games. Jeff, do you think this can be topped? Match
God,
or topped?
No.
I'll give you matching. Really? Okay.
No.
I don't think
it's ever going to happen again. I mean, I was looking at the standings of that league that year alone, and there was a team that was like at 230. So, I mean, I didn't dive too deep into it, but I'm like, this has got to be a lopsided.
The quality of competition was not the same as today. I will grant you that.
Absolutely. And the pressures of today's baseball, you know, the travel, the contracts, when you're flying around all over the place rather than driving on a train, it will happen if you're playing on rookie mode in the show. That's about it.
And as your friend, I can say that will maybe never happen to you. But, Eric, I've seen the numbers. but I digress. Eric, what do you think? Can it be matched? Can it be topped?
I think it's possible, yes. Likely, no. The Indians got to 22 games last year.
They sure did.
And I'm looking at the list. The A's got to 20 in 2002. What the Rockies put together?
The Cubs
that
in 35
run,
had 21.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rockies were at 14 or 16 in that improbable playoff run. I want to say.
And then they did that count the playoffs? That's what I'm trying to remember. If that
I
number
think it
counts
count
the playoff run.
Well, that's a whole other step for a whole other show. Playoffs, Jeff. We'll talk about your Yankees all day when we get to the longest playoff win streak.
I'm just
worry,
trying to think
I got
like total
list.
Games
coming down the pipeline.
One in a series. I love the
plan.
So I think it's possible, right? I think we could see it, but to Jeff's point, I think it's going to be extremely unlikely. The only thing that I think might make it happen is that you do have so many teams these days that are like tanking, and if you can maybe get lucky and string together like a run of terrible teams in a season, it might happen. But yeah, 26 games is a lot of wins to get off in a row. So
it's a lot.
Not optimistic it's going to happen.
But I think it can be done. I'm feeling good that this is happening. It's happening in the next few years. I think it's possible with some of these teams, as loaded as they are. I mean, we saw the Indians do it with a team that, on paper, not full of all-stars. Good players, solid players, but not great players. They won 22 games against tough teams, high pressure, end of the season. They really did something great there, which leads me to believe that this can be done. The Indians can do it. I think we can. A lot of people, the 2002 A's with their 20-game win streak, I mean, that is at the heart of Moneyball. That's where a lot of people remember. But I think it can be done. I really, truly do. I think we'll be back here over the next couple of years, and I'm going to be saying I told you so to you guys, and you guys are going to hate every minute of it. But I'm putting all my eggs in that basket.
Anytime Jenna is right, hell is freezing over.
Jeff lost a few bets to me.
This episode just might accidentally, disappear.
Yeah,
no proof.
Eric's not going to be here for that show.
I'm sick.
I'll just be here by myself, just talking about how great it was. So there we have it. Jeff's on the fence, or Jeff decidedly in the camp of not going for it. Eric is on the fence. I am all in on this streak being broken. So next week we'll be back again on Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time, as we are every week, bringing you more streaks, more awesome knowledge, and talking about another historical streak. Like I said, we got a whole list planned for you, ready and waiting. You can find us all week long, all over social media. Like I said, number1baseball.com is your hub. And every day we're tweeting out Beat the Streak picks. Try to win some money with us. Like I said, I give you two every day. One's usually good. One, we're not sure. So take your chances. There are ones that are not on the front page. They're a little bit deeper hidden down. So for what it's worth, I'm trying to help you along here. And if you do win the millions, remember me fondly. But also remember, if there is a streak you want us to talk about, something in baseball that you want to talk to us about throughout the week, find us all over social media. We are on Facebook at Number One Baseball, Twitter at Number One Baseball with the numeric value 1, and on Instagram at Off the Bat. And we will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of the week.
Ciao.
Thanks, everybody.